Blog Talk Radio.
Howdy, race fans. How the hell are you? Y'all know what time it is. Well, no, we don't even know what the hell time it is, because it's normally Monday when we're supposed to do this show, but we're here on Thursday night for a special show. Of course, a lot of rule changes have come out, a lot of, track scheduling changes, and Craig and I got a lot to talk about. We're going to have Mr. CJ Sports sitting in here with us. Just glad to be on the radio here on this Thursday night. Of course, we're normally on Monday night. Some technical difficulties happened Monday, and we weren't able to get the show in. But, man, it was just too much news this week to take it off. So I appreciate the boys standing in and giving us this extra day to kind of go over what we had. We were off last week, and that kind of is what happens there when you decide to take a week off. You wind up with difficulties the next week. But to know no problems hopefully will exist here tonight, and we'll be able to have a great show. Bringing on my co-host there, Craig Moore. Craig, how the heck are you, buddy?
Oh, my God. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right, good. Oh, my God, what a week it has been. It has been an astronomical week in the world of NASCAR. But I'll tell you how I've been. I have been so good that the snow is melting up here in upstate New York.
That's a plus. I did see a picture from Glen Ridge, I think, and it showed that most of the snow had melted, and they were getting ready to go racing up north.
Yeah, we got about another 2 or 3 weeks, and we'll be getting ready to go racing. So I'm excited for that. I might even hit the season opener at Glen Ridge coming up in a couple of weeks. Weather dependent, obviously. But hey, Chris, I got to ask you something.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to talk about the 2020 schedule. But
yep.
I know everybody's talking about the big excitement. Pocono gets two dates back to back in June. That means they race Saturday. Now, wait, Ray fans, before we go any further with this, we don't know any more than anybody else, like Dave Moody and all those guys. We're all kept in the dark. I don't think NASCAR has figured it out quite yet. They're going to meet with drivers and teams over the next 6 months and figure out how they're going to work the doubleheader at Pocono. But look at it this way, Chris. You show up in Pocono, you race a Saturday, then you race Sunday. That's a chance for two huge points days in a 24-hour period.
At a very tough track, too.
Absolutely. Now, there has been talk. And, you know, say what you want about Joey Logano. But I've been listening to him interviews on Race Up and other outlets. This kid, I say kid because he's a lot younger than me and Jason, Mr. CJ Sports, but he's what NASCAR needs as far as a new hype man. I think if NASCAR said we were going to wrap the car in toilet paper and we were going to run around Darlington, that he would be ecstatic about it. He liked the doubleheader at Pocono. He says, I don't care how it plays out. I don't care what we're going to do. There's talks that they could possibly do a 300-mile race on Saturday and then the 400-mile race on Sunday. There's talks that they could cut both of them in half because of wear and tear on the cars and the crews. But I don't know, man. I'm excited about
it.
So wait a minute
before, and of course we got to, you know, bring Mr. CJ Sports in on this as well. It concerns me that they went ahead and they've made this call to do a doubleheader race. Now, if you're telling me that they're going to split the race up half and half, then that's really only one race that's taken 2 days to run it. That's a typical Pocono because of bad weather. But that's a whole nother issue, okay? So, you know, I'm not hearing in any of this the expectation that they're going to run the Roval, and I'm disappointed with that. I think that if you're at a one racetrack for the whole weekend, you're going to run two different races. Let's see, two different kinds of races. And so I'm very disappointed with that behalf. I know some of this has played out because of the Olympics, and NASCAR is going to take a two-week break off while the Olympics are going on. And that has a lot to do with NBC and NBC controlling the network time, of course. And they're the number one leader in Olympic sports. So, you know, I can see where that's, you know, that was worked out. It's amazing now how much power a network company can make, can have an effect on a weekend, because, guys, this is going into Pocono. Pocono's always been a great track. They've always had a lot of fans there. But are they really going to, you know, charge the same amount of money for a ticket for the two-day weekend that they normally would, being that they're separate entities? It's just going to be hard to make that revenue back, especially for the town of Pocono only having one weekend race. And, you know, you just wonder what the long-term plan is with Pocono. I could see if we were running two different races where I might not be there Saturday, but I would definitely show up for the Sunday ticket, okay, because it's a first-time deal. But running back-to-back, I would prefer, and I'm going to go ahead and put it out there before I pass the baton to Mr. CJ Sports, because I know he's itching to have to say something in this. If it were up to me, I'm an IMSA fan, IMSA, sports cars, and they do, you know, 24 hours of Daytona, 12 hours of Sebring. They have some 8-hour races. I would like to see this turned into the 8 hours of Pocono, and run it on Saturday. That way, if it does rain out, you can run it on Sunday. Or once the time starts, if we only get, you know, 2 hours of racing in an 8-hour stretch, well, by goodness, as soon as the 8-hour clock runs out, that's the race. I don't like this two-race deal unless it's going to be different. But I see where we could make this a different kind of race. And we all know the wear and tear it takes on cars. Pocono would be a great place to open that up. Remember the World 600, guys. The World 600, the reason why it was 600 laps is because nobody thought that the cars could actually race that far on that type of track. This would bring the endurance back to NASCAR, which is kind of what the sport was built on, when you only had one or two, maybe four cars that were the class of the field and everybody else was 5 to 6 laps down. So what are your thoughts, Mr. CJ Sports, on maybe turning this into a timed race, but instead of two races back-to-back, a doubleheader, an 8-hour event of nothing but 8 hours of Pocono? Or give us your ideas on what you think with this Pocono situation, how you would handle it.
All right. I'm going to thank who I got to thank first, and then I'm going to backtrack a second because I was finishing up what I was doing, and then it really started to – the light started to get brighter and brighter as I started to really pay attention to what you all were saying, so I kind of missed the details of this change. So I wanted to get all the details and all the information completely before I give my opinion, because now you guys really have my interest in what was going on. And what's about to go on. So I want to make sure I heard all that correctly. Before I do that, I want to make sure that I thank Carolina Sports Plus, Fit for Life, Maxivation, Digital Media. Without these marketing partners, we wouldn't be able to do what we do. Make sure you guys check us out on Twitter at 110 Nation, Facebook 110 Nation Sports. Check out the site www.110nationsports.com. Write down the change that is about to happen in detail, because I didn't catch the only thing that and for those that don't know, I'm in the process of closing down one store and taking over another store. Things have gotten really hectic in my work life right now, so it's really been hit and miss on me catching anything. I saw one of the topics we're going to talk about, but I completely missed which you all just laid on the table in front of me, and I am really trying to process what I just heard. So do me a favor and break down exactly what this rule change is going to be, because I'm dying to give my thoughts and opinions on this.
All right, here you go, Jason. Ready? Start taking notes. Class is in session. NASCAR released their 2020 schedule yesterday. We open, as always, in Daytona. We're going to close the regular season in Daytona.
The regular season.
Okay.
The regular season, which I think we'll talk about that in a little while.
Which that moves Indianapolis to a different date. But they're trading dates with Daytona.
So then Daytona is no longer the 4th of July race.
Indianapolis will be the 4th of July race.
Okay.
Not only that. But Pocono is getting two dates. Back-to-back weekends. I believe the dates are the 26th, 27th of June. I'm checking the schedule now.
Okay.
Now, do I necessarily like that? Oh, yes and no. As long as they don't change, and I think Chris is going with this too, as long as they don't change the length, it's two races. If they change the length of either race, it's a race and a quarter or a race total. There's a bunch of cards, bunch of dates moving around. Now, they're not 100% sure the drivers or car owners or crew chiefs, none of them are sure how that's going to work as far as cars go. Are they going to be able to bring four cars to the track, two for each day? Have both
now
two
you
cars
said, you said back-to-back weekends. The back, did you mean back-to-back weekends or back-to-back days?
Back-to-back days. The plans haven't been laid out yet because NASCAR's got to meet with the team owners and whatnot and the crew chief. But whether they're going to get four cars, two primaries, and two backups, they're not quite sure how they're going to lay it out, whether it's going to be a full race and a half race or two half races.
Right. And so, to finish off the scheduling talking real quick, Craig. Let's make sure that we let Mr. CJ Sports know that Martinsville will become a night race in the Chase. Also changes
In
the Chase.
I like that.
Darlington starts out as the first race in the Chase, and Bristol, which has typically been middle of August race, is now in the Chase, and it's on a Saturday night, September 19th. It will be the third race of the Chase. So starting off with the Chase, we'll have Darlington, Richmond, Bristol, Las Vegas, Talladega, Charlotte, Kansas, Texas. Martinsville will be the second to last, and we will finish the season at ISM Raceway in Phoenix, Arizona. Unfortunately, that means that Homestead has now been moved up to the March 22nd date, which is the weekend after Atlanta Motor Speedway and a week before Texas Motor Speedway. To me, that was a heartbreak change. And I know from personal, you know, you've been to that race several times, Mr. CJ Sports. So I think that I would definitely like to get your thoughts on that race actually being uprooted and replaced by ISM and the effects that it could have on the Speedway being that they're no longer an important race. That race had sold out for many years. And now they are off somewhere in the middle of the schedule. But back to the Pocono. Okay, you've got it.
Okay.
You know what the schedule changes are. The Daytona race ends the regular season. The playoffs begin. You start out with Darlington, Richmond, and Bristol. Those are a hell of a tracks to start a chase off in. I like that move. But back to the Pocono. As you thought about it. There's a lot of question marks with this Pocono situation. And what if it rains and we're still running an ARCA, a truck, Xfinity, and two cup races on the same weekend at Pocono? It's going to be the 48 hours of Pocono.
A lot of things there. The Daytona not being 4th of July race, I've gone to that race so many times on the 4th of July weekend. I really don't like that move. All those races you mentioned in the beginning of the chase, love it. I don't like Homestead not being the last race of the year. I just think Florida's the perfect scenario for the last race, it being November and the weather. I've been approved three times to be there. Unfortunately, I only made it once, but I loved it, and the weather was perfect. The Pocono thing, I agree. I believe, Chris, you're the one that threw it out there. Two full-length races, mix it up. Had one, let them do the traditional Pocono race. The other one was do a roval or something, which change it up, do something. I don't care if you make them go the opposite direction on the track. Let's have a little bit of variety. If we're going to be back-to-back days, let's not make it the same thing 2 days in a row. If they do that, I'm all in. Pocono's not my favorite track. It's one of those tracks that if I'm around people and watching it, great. I'm not going to sit there and go out of my way to watch it. I don't know necessarily why. If the ARCA series race is on, or because of the people we've had on both the shows, or if it's one of the other series that has drivers that I feel that are going to be competitive and have a legitimate shot, you know, maybe a non-Kyle Busch race, I might stick my head in there and watch. But Pocono's just not one of my tracks that I go out my way to watch. But yes, yeah, so we do back-to-back days, and there's some variety. That would definitely make me want to tune in, because that just seems like a lot. I want to see the endurance. I want to see the teams be able to adjust from one type of race to another type of race. That, to me, would make for a really interesting, intriguing weekend.
All right. We set about Homestead. Okay, they're moving dates. They move it from the end of the year.
Heartbroken.
Well, here's my thing on it. I think what NASCAR is banking on, and I listened to this yesterday on SiriusXM, I think what they're banking on is getting a new breed of people into Miami to watch the race, because that's generally spring break time down in Miami. Now, here's another problem they're going to have. There's a lot of good stuff going on in Miami. There's music festivals. There's obviously now the race. That's going to create...
The NBA is getting ready to go in the playoffs at that same point in time, and Miami's usually a team that is in the playoff hunt. You're just throwing a lot more in there, too.
Right. So... You've got the playoffs for the NBA. You've got spring break. You've got the snowbirds down there, because they don't usually come back up north until March or April, May, usually after Easter. I just don't think it's going to be. I think that's pretty much, to me, I think that's the kiss of death from Miami Homestead.
I agree.
Obviously, people in NASCAR don't think so.
Well, I mean, you know, they're banking on, like you said, Craig, it's spring break, and so they're banking on a lot of people being there. But that would turn off the traditional fan from wanting to go there, because, first of all, have y'all checked the hotel prices in Miami?
Oh,
you can
God.
Get them a lot cheaper in November than you can in March, because everybody's ready to get that warm weather in their face. You know, I understand that Ford's contract, Ford's Championship Weekend, after 10 years or however many years that they've been sponsoring it, it was up and they didn't renew the contract. I have a feeling that I think that NASCAR was trying to do something with the F1 series, the Formula 1 series. You know, there was talks last year that they were going to bring a race to Miami. It was going to be a road course, a street race in Miami, and all of a sudden it fell apart. Well, if I'm not mistaken, guys, without reference check, I believe that this was right around the same weekend that they were going to race that Formula One race in Miami, if it was approved, and it didn't get approved. So if they were counting on racing that same weekend as Formula One and kind of having a combined event thing, I think that would have made more logical sense for moving Homestead. But I've also heard, guys, that they're going to rotate some of these tracks out at the end of the year so that you finish the championship at a different track. So we'll see how the future comes with that. But, you know, I like the changes to the chase. But, guys, another question mark here. Who in the hell wants to go to Indianapolis Motor Speedway on the 4th of July weekend to watch NASCAR when that place was already struggling? It is going to be 110, maybe 120 degrees. It's already hot as heck during Memorial Day weekend, Memorial Day weekend, when they have the Indianapolis 500. I can only imagine what those temperatures are going to feel like on the 4th of July in mid-America.
Yeah, I don't. Apparently somebody in NASCAR down in Daytona was hitting the crack pipe, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, Brian Prince no longer is affiliated with NASCAR, so.
Oh, my bad.
Oh, I mean, not to put any names out there because I would hate to get sued. but that's kind of getting you up to date on the changes to the NASCAR schedule. I would give it a B minus if I were to give it a grade. I like the change. I like the improvement. I'm questioning why we're going to go out west to end the year. I'd heard through the grapevine that Las Vegas was maybe a place that they were going to end the chase at, I think, last year. But they decided to move the banquet to Nashville, and now we're going to end the race season in Phoenix, Arizona. It just kind of seems kind of odd, but like I said, I'm going to keep my fingers crossed and hope that they continue to be like more like the NFL and have certain venues each year to finish out the championship. And I think that would be a great way to do it. But guys, we are going to go into the chase with the last race being at Daytona Motor
Speedway,
Daytona International Speedway. Are you kidding me? And then you're going to go to Darlington? I mean, guys, this has got to be the hardest thing on the drivers. When they seen that, the pit of their stomach hit the ground. Prove me wrong. Go ahead, Craig.
Oh, no, I agree with you. I think the only thing that could be worse is you go from, and I'm looking at the schedule, go from Daytona to Charlotte.
Worse for the driver. Now, not for us fans. This is awesome.
Right.
But go ahead.
Right. I'm talking about you go from Daytona. Now, here, picture this. I want you to frame this in your mind. You're a top 16 car. You pretty much, you can't sandbag anymore in 2020. There's no sandbag. You're a top 16 car. You're running up in the top 20. Somebody wrecks. You get caught up in the big one. Matt DiBenedetto goes on and takes the checkered flag. He bounces you out of the chase.
It's the wild card.
Exactly. That is what is scary about this. I mean, you think about that.
I love it.
Oh, I love it. From a fan standpoint, I'm exuberant over it.
Ricky Stenhouse. I mean, Ricky Stenhouse can wreck the whole field all year long, including the last lap of the Daytona 400. And I'd be John Brown if he don't wind up in victory lane and in the chase. How about that for Ricky Stinky House?
Ricky Stinky House. Here's what I'm thinking. You know what? This schedule would be great for Danica.
Oh, come on. Can we get over it? Jeez, let's talk about Haley Deegan. Jesus Christ. Turn his mic off, Mr. CJ Sports. Mr. CJ Sports, since I'm asking you already, well, what are your thoughts? Is this not awesome? From the driver's perspective, it has to be terrible. But from the race fan's perspective, how more awesome is it to start the regular season at Daytona and end the regular season at Daytona?
I mean, honestly, I wish they would actually end the entire season at Daytona, even though I love it. At Homestead, Florida, either way, it was where it needs to end the whole entire season. But, yes.
That's a great point, and I could see that. I could see that, Mr. CJ Sports, considering that you have to put the last race of the year at a warm weather track. Go ahead.
Yeah, why not let Homestead be the last regular season so it still has got, you know, some kind of attention and Daytona be the final of the year. But other than the fact that I agree, I don't like Indianapolis being the 4th of July race. I mean, when you think of 4th of July, you don't think of Indiana, you think of Florida. And like I said, that's the race. Other than I think that the 4th of July race at Daytona is probably the track that I've been to the most, at least most to as a fan anyway. Other than that, yes, I like the fact that they're ending the season at Daytona. You know, like I said, I'd rather it be the end of the year, but I'll take the end of the regular season. So I like that from a fan's perspective. It does make it interesting because you don't know who's possibly going to get in all of a sudden into the chase and who might get bumped out that was in on points going into the race, but then somebody that we unexpectedly wins the race in, so they're in and bump somebody out. I can see from the driver's side, I agree as well, this is maybe not the idealistic way to finish the season, and the fact that it's a wild card, but from the fan perspective, I think that this
if
will
I'm
help
Austin
sell,
Dillon,
sell
and
out
I'm
Daytona.
Not locked in. I am on the wheel, son. I mean, I'm up on there. I'm wrecking people to get out. If I'm Ricky Stenhouse Jr., I'm wrecking the field to get through there so I can make it into the chase and please my sponsors.
I think Daytona will be a sold-out race now.
The way I roll my tongue.
I think this Daytona race will be sold out. I think you'll have more. The attendance will be better this Daytona race than maybe the 4th of July because a lot of people do other things for the 4th of July weekend, but I think this will definitely help sell it out because now this is a very important race for the chase with it being a wild card. I think that'll draw a lot more attention.
Well, here's...
And let's touch on the subject real quick, Craig, because Bristol, I think that Bristol has lost its touch over the years, right? And I think most of you guys can agree. It went from being a sold-out track for years in advance to now they can't even get the place near about half full. Moving this Bristol night race from the hot, sweltery, sweaty, humidity night of August into a more presentable spring, cooler temperature weather, but making this a race for the chase, do you think that that's going to help attendance for Bristol? Because obviously we should be very concerned about the fans screaming short track, short track, short track. Bristol being one of the best short tracks or most notarized short tracks on the circuit, but yet they cannot have, they've had issues on selling tickets there. I'd like both of your thoughts.
Well, I think that it'll help them. I agree with you. Nobody wants to sit at a track in a sweltering heat when they could be somewhere else. But that can be said for 70% of the NASCAR schedule. Midwest, it gets hot in the summertime. Now, Florida, it gets hot. My father lives down there. It was 85 degrees down there today, and it's March 28th. So, you know, I think Bristol's got to do, and I agree with you. I remember when Bristol, like you said, Chris, I remember when Bristol was the race to get to. If you wanted tickets for 2025, 5-10 years ago, you had to get on that list then. Now, you can walk up and get a ticket. That's sad.
Right.
But. And that's one of our mainstay tracks. Going back to the awards banquet being moved every year. I think the reason that they're moving it to Nashville this year, and I think we touched upon this a couple weeks back, is that they're looking to get the Nashville Speedway on the Cup Series. And they're trying to, this is my opinion, that they're trying to garner interest and bring revenue. Not that Nashville needs any revenue, not with the Country Music Hall of Fame and everything else down there. But they're trying to bring more revenue into the city of Nashville. And if there is a good turnout for the city of Nashville, as far as revenue-wise, for the banquet in December, that in 2021 you could see Nashville Speedway on the cup schedule.
Yeah, and I could very well see it as one of the either an all-star race as well during the season, or I could see it as maybe a championship racetrack at the end of the year. The greatest thing about Nashville is it's one of the most popular growing cities in America right now. Music City has gone from near about bankrupt into a booming, blusterous, awesome town of nothing but entertainment. And we've seen the way that this Tennessee small, you know, small little city, I should say, adopted a hockey team. And, boy, I tell you what, there's a bunch of Southerners that's in love with hockey in Nashville, Tennessee. It's beats all you ever seen. They throw a catfish so they slide it across the rink before every home game. It's amazing, and the place is always packed out. And so, you know, I think that that if you have to draw that much interest into professional hockey, then the racing interest has got to still be there, and it's going to be a great venue for NASCAR to return to. It's a good storyline. It's great that that they're pursuing this, and to adding that historic track back to the schedule is a move in the right direction. And I'm very happy that NASCAR is taking themselves out of Las Vegas and putting themselves in more of a local, you know, we all know what happens in Vegas. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Well, Music City is a family entertainment place. So, you know, I'm glad that NASCAR is bringing it back to a family zone and taking it out of the old evil empire of Las Vegas. I know that's probably not a popular thought, but being that this sport is only going to survive off those kids that are watching the sport now. You look at WWE, we've said it so many times, the reason why that sport continues to be on the map and continues to grow is because there's always a 7 or 8 year old out there pulling for whether it be Hulk Hogan, John Cena, Macho Man, Randy Savage, Kane, you know, throughout the years, there's always been The Rock. You know, there's been somebody that 7 or 8 year old could pull for, and that's where the revenue generates to keep WWE alive. NASCAR has got to adopt that and understand that without that geography of listeners and watchers, the sport will go nowhere. So bringing it back home to a family atmosphere, I give a heads up and a thumbs up to NASCAR for seeing that and doing it.
And they have to. I mean, they have to bring it, and I like it coming to Nashville. I like it coming to, like you said, a family entertainment venue. Because, like you said, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Can I throw my 2 cents on the Bristol?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm actually approved for, not this weekend, next weekend's day race. That would be my first day race at Bristol, if all the stars line up and I'm able to make this trip. I have done the night race at least twice, probably 3 times. To be honest with you, talking about the weather, the heat was never really anything that I ever felt was a factor in the attendance or it being hot. As a matter of fact, no matter how warm it is during the day, it being Tennessee and everything else, at nighttime it gets rather chilly, and you're usually in a hoodie with the wind from the cars and it cooling down. So I love the fact that it's part of the chase. I've always been a believer that there should be at least one type of every kind of track in the chase. I believe there should be road course, short, the mile and a half. Super speedway, you got a 10-race span that dictates who is the best driver for the year. Therefore, every type of track should be on there so we have an opportunity to have a true champion, not just someone or a team that has mastered the mile and a half or mastered the mile and a half, whatever the case may be. So don't get me wrong, I love the fact that the track's part of the chase. I just kind of wanted to weigh a little bit more in on the fact that talking about the weather, out of the 2 or 3 times that I've gone, weather was never anything that I felt was that it was too hot or whatever. Like I said, once it cools off in the evening, since it's a night race, it gets kind of chilly just because of the conditions up there.
I tell you what, as you said that, I was looking at the schedule one more time, and I started counting the mile and a half speedways, guys. Unless they turn Charlotte back into the regular race, then, guys, between Texas, Kansas, and Las Vegas, those are your mile and a half speedways. ISM, of course,
that's
has good. Its own certain layout. We have Martinsville, Bristol, and Richmond as the short tracks. We have Darlington Raceway in the mix, Talladega, and, of course, the Roval if they keep it that way.
That's
so,
right.
Definitely
like
a
that.
Mixture. I mean, this is awesome, guys. A great mixture of tracks. Does it concern you any, though, that Darlington, Richmond, and Bristol, Darlington is South Carolina, Richmond is Virginia, and Bristol is really on the corner of Tennessee and Virginia. As a matter of fact, Bristol split up in half between the two states, Virginia and Tennessee. A lot of people don't know that. Is that kind of too close together, being that they're probably less than, 4 hours apart from all the tracks and that kind of triangle? Do you think that may have an effect on attendance at some of these racetracks?
Well, you know, they said the same thing about I heard this, and I don't remember who brought it up, about Daytona and Miami-Dade, Miami Homestead, that attendance at Daytona, because Daytona always sells out, so that means that Miami Homestead is going to suffer because it's so close. You know what? Who knows? We're only guessing. We're only playing a guessing game. But can it hurt it? Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But I think with the Darlington and Richmond and Bristol, what we forget and what I can easily forget down here in the South is that y'all are so much more populated on the eastern coastline. We have a neighbor, you know, about every 4 miles if you were to stretch us out. Up as you go up the East Coast, you have people actually on top of each other. population is a lot different through that area with North Carolina. And, of course, as you get further from Virginia, you know, you get into, Boston, Pennsylvania, New York, and all that area, right? West Virginia? West Virginia is huge.
No, West Virginia is not huge. It's Virginia.
Virginia's big.
Virginia's big. West Virginia, if you blink, you miss it.
Oh, okay.
Like, literally, you can go to West Virginia.
It's oddly shaped, though. It seems like from the top to the bottom. And now, of course, if you were to drive all the way through Mississippi from the Gulf Coast to North Mississippi, it would take you about 5.5 hours. You can go through about 6 states on that eastern coastline in a 5.5 hour drive.
Well, if you stay out of Pennsylvania you stay out of Pennsylvania and Virginia, yeah.
Okay. All right.
I like it. I think it's great for the teams. You know, we're always, and NASCAR is always looking ways to kind of cut spending so these teams ain't spending so much money. So you keep these races close. You know, you're not making them go coast to coast and everything else. So on that aspect, I really like it that, you know, this kind of helps those teams that are not as funded to make life a little bit easier. But as for the fan aspect of it too, you know, with it being so close together, this gives an opportunity to someone that maybe has a 2-week vacation and wants an opportunity to go to a couple races. They're right there. For me, that's you know, you're talking, I could hit all 3 weekends back to back to back and still not even have to spend the night anywhere. I could come back to North Carolina. That, to me, that's phenomenal. And with it being so populated and North Carolina kind of being the center of racing world, you know, there's a lot of fans, and I like it. I think this is a really big opportunity as long as NASCAR markets it right and promotes it the correct way. I think this could be a really good, successful stretch and really help NASCAR, especially what it's costing, the overhead, the travel expenses and everything else, and could open the opportunity to get fans to make it to more than one race, because you've got this stretch and you're talking playoffs and you're talking a lot of things that draws attention. So I, as long as NASCAR does it right, I think this could be a very big plus.
Yeah. My only last concern is that NASCAR's only given 3 weekends off for the 2020 race season. The one note to that is they're finishing a week early. They're gonna be done November 8th, where typically they go into the week before Thanksgiving. So that's
gonna be kind of tough.
But there again, you know, at the same time, they're gonna get a 2-week off summer vacation, and I think that's very important as well. similar to what Formula One and IndyCar both do. They have a period of time of like 2 weeks off during the summer. So this will give those guys a chance to go out and ride in their yachts and fly in their Learjets over to Monaco and you know, put all that extra money into banks over there. So, but you know, the schedule has definitely got me excited. I thought that it was very important that we come on here tonight and discuss this because it was such a big ordeal. They are also looking at making improvements on the car. I think that the Talladega and Daytona tracks, they're going to raise the car up about 6 inches. So we're going to not see them slam to the ground as we normally do as they try to decrease the speeds. My only concern with that is the further the car gets up, the easier it is for air to get up underneath it, and we might have some turnovers. And I'm not talking about losing employees. I'm talking about flipovers into the catch fence. And we're looking forward to going to Talladega. It's 4 weeks from today. We're leaving, and we'll be enjoying the weekend ourselves at Talladega Super Speedway. Hopefully y'all can get together and meet us down there. It'd be great to have all y'all in one place and get to share some chicken and some drunk chicken and eat some shrimp and howl at the moon, you know. Nothing like being up until 5 o'clock in the morning on race day.
I spoke to my brother who I was talking to you a couple weeks ago about him. He was out in Vegas for a conference. And he attended his first NASCAR race. So he messages me today and he says, "What does your schedule look like for February?" And I said, "Right now it's open." I said, "But it's March, so who the hell knows?" He says, "Good." He says, "Why don't you block off Daytona weekend?" He says, "And we'll fly in." He says, "I'll fly from the West Coast. You fly from New York." He says, "We'll go to the race." And I was like, "Yeah."
Well, good. That means next year we'll meet up.
I was trying to get him to go to Charlotte because he flies to Charlotte twice a year. And he flies right around the time of the Roval. So I said to him, I said, "Well, I have a buddy of mine that lives not too far from Charlotte." I said, "So, you know, we could all..." What's that, Jay? What's that?
I was going to say, all plans are I'm going to be at Daytona next year as well. So this is supposed to be an annual thing for my family. So, yeah, so we'll definitely have to meet up in Daytona the next year then.
So y'all going to go meet up in Daytona because nobody wants to meet me at Talladega. Well, see what friends are for. I'm going to turn both of your microphones off and
finish the show to
myself because we still haven't talked about Greg Biffle coming out of retirement. Mr. CJ Sports always said, "Carl Edwards is going to come out of retirement. He's going to come back and kick everybody's butt, and he's going to turn Roush Racing into this big old empire, and they're going to kick everybody's ass." But guess what?
I never said anything about Roush Racing. I didn't think it would be Roush.
Now,
I am surprised.
Now, Greg Biffle decides
still
after he gets done peeping time on his wife in the rental house, he's decided that all that's taken care of, and he only lost a dollar in that case, that he would come out of retirement now. And he's actually got a ride in a Kyle Busch Motorsports truck. I know y'all are ready for your thoughts on that. Mr. CJ Sports, let's start with you.
Honestly, it caught me by surprise. One, I'm still convinced that Carl Edwards, we're still not done talking that name. But it kind of caught me surprised because of all the young drivers and all the talent that Kyle Busch puts behind the wheels of his cars and his trucks, all of a sudden you got somebody that's beyond their prime and never really was. I'm not going to say he was never a good driver. I mean, Greg Biffle was a decent driver. And at some moments was good, but it caught me by surprise, and I'm kind of scratching my head with everybody he puts in the car. It's kind of a really good young talent or somebody that's getting ready to move up in the next level. Then all of a sudden we're talking about Greg Biffle. It was just kind of caught me off guard and not what we've been used to from Kyle Busch Motorsports. So, I was really intrigued and was really curious of what your guys' thoughts, because I kind of chuckled when I saw that, and it was not what I was expecting to see today.
Well, let me ask you a question, CJ.
Uh-huh.
Didn't Busch say a couple weeks ago about a driver he was having an issue with that if he didn't if he didn't start performing, he was going to find himself on the short end of the driving schedule?
Yeah.
I mean, at
and
the
still,
end of the day,
you would think,
at the end
you
of
think
the day,
that there
on,
would be
hold
more.
Hold on. At the end of the day, Kyle Busch is running a business. He's
yes.
not running a charity. He's not
or
running a driving school.
I understand
he's
that.
Not running a daycare.
But as many young, talented drivers that are coming through, too, to the fact that one of the guests we've had on the show many times, Amber Balkan, is going to be driving a Kyle Busch Motorsports vehicle. I think it's a late model I saw. It just kind of caught me off guard. You brought somebody that was, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, it's Kyle Busch's decision, and it's a good driver, and he probably is going to win in a Kyle Busch vehicle, but it just not, you know, we're used to the putting the Christopher Bells in these vehicles and the Noah Gregstons, and, you know, it's not him babysitting, it's him putting names that are marketable, that are good, that, you know, are going to win races, and it just, he doesn't fit what we've been used to in a Kyle Busch
vehicle.
Well, I beg
to differ. What about John Hunter? What about John Nemechek? What about Ron Hornaday? The Truck Series has always had that older guy that stepped in, Travis Kvyat. You know, Ted Musgrave. My gosh, the career Ted Musgrave had in the Truck Series was a hell of a lot better than what he ever had in the Cup Series. I think it's odd that you get a driver out of retirement, but it definitely adds something to talk about for the Truck Series. You're getting a seasoned veteran driver. You kind of expect him to win. Now, David Gilley is a more recent guy that stepped into a Kyle Busch machine, you know, to kind of, I guess, as he was lured into purchasing Toyotas from the Kyle Busch Motorsports camp, that was kind of part of the deal there. But, you know, David hasn't had much success either, and you would think that he would come out and put a whooping on him with his past Cup experience. So I just don't know if this is going to be, if, you know, Greg Biffle is going to have the patience to be able to sit behind a truck and not want to be back on a Cup level, because trust me, guys, the truck budget is nothing compared to the Cup budget. And so it's going to be old-school racing for Greg Biffle all over again.
Yeah, and I think it's good for Kyle Busch Motorsports. You get a veteran in there to shake down a truck. And it's just like when Matt Kenseth did it last year for Roush. You get him back in there to shake down a truck, you can almost tell whether or not it's the driver that you had in it previous or whether it's something that the team needs to fix. And I think that's what Kyle was going for. Yes, to CJ's point, he could have put a young driver in there, but that young driver lacked something that a veteran driver has, and that's experience.
You would have thought he would have put somebody from his own team. You're talking about someone who's never even, you know, he's been on Roush, you know, Fenway. You would at least thought, even if it was a veteran, that he would have had somebody that has drove for Joe Gibbs Racing or somebody even at worst for Hendrick, you know, somebody that, you know, even if it's out of retirement, somebody he was a teammate with, he threw somebody in there that he's not even, you know, I don't know, it's just odd to me.
Here's my take on that. Are you ready? He wanted a totally unbiased opinion. If I'm paying you,
I can see
if
that.
I'm paying your yearly salary,
sure.
Okay, you're going to tell me what I want to hear. You may not tell me what I need to hear. You're going to tell me what I want to hear.
But Kyle Busch has plenty of experience driving his own stuff. Are you telling me that his truck is off limits to everybody else and nobody else can see his notes? Because he goes out there in a truck and kicks everybody's ass. But yet his team doesn't perform and doesn't have the same results. So what you're saying is he's going to a more mediocre driver to find out, because honestly, he drives the best of everything?
Well, I mean, it's just the one half dozen of the other. I would want to know from outside my team what's going on.
Yeah, I think this is more of a publicity stunt for Craig for Greg Biffle. I honestly think that he's itching his way to get back into a
hey, you know what?
Good car.
You know what?
But I'm just
you
not sure if that's gonna
be
available.
Right. You could be absolutely right. I don't think there'll be a good car available for him. Unless
no.
Kyle Busch Motorsports starts a cup team, you know that ain't happening.
Yeah. No, I don't see that coming anytime soon with that big old contract he just signed with Joe Gibbs Racing.
Right. That was a 10-year deal. That essentially takes him to retirement age.
Yeah, definitely. So how about Daniel Suarez? He's been hot here lately. He's had some good finishes. Are we looking at Daniel Suarez in better equipment? Is he proving that he deserved the second chance? It's definitely been pleasing to see him running up near the front in the last couple of races.
I think that it's about, well, I shouldn't say it's about time. He was only with one other team. But I think, not counting the language barrier that they have, the communication issues they've had, he's had a solid season thus far. How that will translate later in the season, who the hell knows? Do I think that he has found a home? They're absolutely at Stuart Haas. Absolutely. As long as he's able to keep adapting to the cars, telling his people what they need, and not acting like a 2-year-old like he did a couple weeks ago. I mean, he went off. I don't remember the driver he went off on, but he went off on a driver and said, if you didn't get out of his way, he was
going to
wreck.
Michael McDowell incident.
Yeah. I mean, Suarez, listen, dude, you're in this pretty much last chance ride of your career because there is no other super team out there besides Busch, besides Joe Gibbs. Because Hendrick, they're floundering.
You're
like,
right. Yeah, he didn't have to say.
Yeah, pretty much. Hendrick, they're pretty much a floundering fish out of water. Matter of fact, if they don't get their stuff together soon, Gordon is not going to want any part of that team. But he's got to do something. He had no business going off on Michael McDowell. He needs to prove himself first. He hasn't done that yet. Not in my eyes. But he is in top-notch equipment. He is in what Kurt Busch ran for a year. If he can continue that, the sky's the limit for Mr. Suarez, or however the hell you say it, Chris. Here's another thing. Here, let's talk about another driver who had a dismal.
Are you not in a good mood today?
No, I'm
in
a tired.
Great mood. You're tired.
No, I didn't actually have enough. No, I can't say anything because the person might be listening, but I have a coworker at work that sometimes I like to taper cut and watch him bleed slowly. I doubt he's listening. But here's another driver that had a dismal career at another team, and it wasn't a top-notch team. I'm talking about Eric Almirola. This guy has had 5 top 10s this season.
Right.
That's amazing. Nobody thought this guy was going to do a hill of shit, even when he you counted him out at RPM. He comes to SHR. He makes the chase last year. This year he's got 5 top 10. If he runs consistent up until we get to the cutoff race of the chase, he's in. He's in. If he keeps running as consistent as he is, it's only a matter of time before he gets a win. Tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as I look at it, he's only got 69 laps led, which is always a major telltale sign of, you know, what, how much to the front he's been. 6th place is looking good in the standings. Of course, it's five top five, top tens. Only one top five, though, and a DNF for Eric Amarola. He's definitely been a surprise for sore eyes. not making fun of Suarez, y'all. I'm sorry. No pun intended, all right? I tried it. It didn't work. Well, I just love the ethnicity over at Stuart Haas Racing, and they're making it work. It's beautiful. So, you know, Amarola is having a great year. You cannot look past what Penske's done. Stuart Haas Racing right now is the number two Ford organization because Penske, there's no way to say that they're not on top of their game. They are the strongest Ford in the field at this moment. But Amarola, Harvick, Bowyer, and Suarez are both all coming off of top 10 finishes this past weekend. And so, you know, you just expect Amarola to be able to get in victory lane, lead some laps, and secure his spot in the chase here at the end of the year. If he were to miss it, that would probably be one of my biggest disappointments. Considering that Amarola is backing it up, he's making you shut up. He's saying that I'm here and I'm good and I've got top notch equipment, and that's kind of what we expect to see out of Suarez as well, as he's 16th in the point standings. So he is in the chase as of right now. He has two top ten finishes and no top five. So well, of course, Kurt Busch in the number one car. Obviously, McMurray was the problem. Busch is sitting 10th in the standings. Chase Elliott's 9th. Ryan Blaney's in the 8th spot. Martin Truex Jr. in the 7th spot. Amarola is in the 6th spot. Keselowski's in the 5th spot. Joey Logano in the 4th spot. Then it's Kevin Harvick, Denny Hamlin, and, of course, Kyle Busch at the top of the chart. From 11th on back, it's Larson Stenhouse. As much as they've cut up on Ricky Stenhouse, he's sitting 12th in the point standings. Bowyer at 13th, Eric Jones at 14th, Jimmy Johnson in the 15th spot, and as we said earlier, Suarez is in the 16th spot. Alex Bowman's on the outside looking in, along with Austin Dillon and Ryan Newman, and Paul Menard in the 20th spot. So far out of the standings, my biggest disappointment would probably be William Byron. You know, I had a lot of expectation for him already. Alex Bowman being on the outside, it looks like just problems continue at Hendrick Motorsports. We could spend a whole another hour talking about that. But my biggest surprise, I guess, so far would be at Martin Truex Jr. and the success that they've had. Even though he hasn't been in victory lane yet, Martin Truex Jr. has definitely had showed that he's consistent at Joe Gibbs. And, you know, as long as he's comfortable being the number two driver at Joe Gibbs Racing, I don't see any problems there. But now let's talk about real quick before we get ready to go. Should there be some concern in Stuart Haas Racing? They've not yet got any wins. And obviously there was a little bit of contact between Harvick and Bowyer early in yesterday's race, and Harvick come over the radio saying something about Bowyer running his mouth and he's pretty good at it. And is there problems already at Stuart Haas Racing? Is it too many roosters in one house? Let's get your thoughts, Craig, and then we'll go to CJ.
No, there are too many roosters in the house. Yeah, but you know what? Bowyer's fiery as it is. So if he thinks he's getting, I don't want to say the word picked on, if he doesn't think he's getting what he should, he's going to make some noise. And I like that out of him. I like the fact that he's fiery. So I think that the only time will tell is what's going to happen with Bowyer over there. CJ, what do you got, buddy?
Is there too many roosters in the hen house at Stuart Haas Racing? With Bowyer, Harvick, Amarola, and Suarez. Obviously, Bowyer, I think, would be the face of NASCAR. He's a guy that's hilarious. I'd love to see him with a lot more wins. I don't know if it's lack of talent or if it's just lack of car or if the field is filled with that many good drivers. But it's kind of odd to see, knowing the closeness of the relationship between the drivers in the past, Bowyer and Harvick have always been pretty good buddies. There's obviously some irritation there. Is it lack of performance? Is it contract time? what may be the cause of the relationship crumble between the two drivers? Because, of course, this is a very competitive sport, and Bowyer got two wins last year. He definitely thinks that he's running a lot better than what he has. Is it Harvick? Is he frustrated, or is it something deeper than that, Mr. CJ Sports?
I don't know. I mean, it's got to be tough to see one of your teammates seem like they have the best of everything. And, you know, I'm sure that's not the case. And, you know, Harvick's kind of been kind of the top of the list for the last handful of years. He's really been the banner waver for Stuart Haas, even back to when Tony Stewart, you know, if I was to ever, even though it's a Stuart Haas racing, if I was to put the face and say who, Kevin Harvick's the first name that popped my head when it comes to Stuart Haas racing. But it's got to be aggravating for Bowyer to see what seems like Harvick having everything. I think, you know, Stewart needs to sit down and, you know, kind of line everything up and look, this is the way it is. And, you know, I don't know. At some point, you got to put egos to the side and you got to do what's for better the team, better for your career. If I'm Bowyer, I'm look, what are you doing different? What are you doing differently from me? And use Kevin Harvick and his information to my advantage versus there being friction.
Harvick's always had a little bit better funding than Bowyer as well, and that could have, you know, a reason for the car not performing as well because it's not as funded. You know, I think that was something that irritated Casey Kane over at Hendrick Motorsports seeing Jimmy Johnson, but Jimmy Johnson had better funding coming in, which meant that he got the better parts. So, you know, it could be Bowyer as well by not being able to attract a sponsor yet to Stuart Haas Racing. He's used Mobil 1, he's used Rush, which is all Tony Stewart partnership partners, and, of course, Haas Racing and Automation, which is in-house sponsorship. So that may have an effect on his type of equipment that he gets. And so, you know, and I guess my question is now, what's keeping Bowyer from being marketable? This guy is the face of NASCAR, if you ask me. He's the most fun guy to be around in the garage.
I mean, he's fun, and he was one of my people that I would have picked that I would love to hear in the studio. So I think he's a very likable, fun, down-to-earth, can-relate-to-fan kind of person. You're talking
stats. Do you think that Bowyer knows that his options are now done at Stuart Haas Racing? That if he's not able to get a new deal and he's not able to bring some kind of money to the table, could this be the end of the road for Clint Bowyer? And Harvick is basically going to be able to go out when he wants to. Do you think that that's maybe having a rub on the relationship with him and his teammates?
I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure it is. If you know your time is limited at a job if you don't perform, how does that make you feel?
It makes you want to stand up on the wheel and not try to make any friends on the racetrack, but to get wins. That's what it sounds like to me. And it sounds like Harvick got his feathers rubbed because he didn't like the way his teammate was racing him. And so this goes on the fact that Harvick's been irritated because he hasn't got a win yet. He's not locked in. Last year he started the season off strong, you know, a couple of wins in a row. This year he's not gotten there, and it's starting to get into his head because until that driver wins, he's steadily wondering what's wrong. Why haven't I won? Why haven't I won? So he's allowing kind of his nature, the rooster in him, the kicking up the dust, he's allowing that to affect a long-term friendship. But being that Clint Bowyer's back is against the wall, he's got to perform if he wants to keep that ride. It's not time for Bowyer to make friends out on the racetrack, especially at a place where you won at last year. And it may have been early, but I feel like some of this was Harvick's feelings, and the other part is Bowyer knows that he has to be up on the wheel. Is that an agreement?
Oh, absolutely. And if he's not up on the wheel, then he don't want it as bad as. If he's not up on the wheel.
If I don't have a guy that's up on the wheel in a contract year, then I don't want him on my race team anyway.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
So Harvick can take his bag of his. And y'all know, man, I'm a supporter of Harvick. So, I mean, I'm sure y'all are like, damn, Chris is bringing the heat to Harvick tonight. Well, that's the thing. You know, I have drivers that I pull for. But at the same time, guys, we have to think about their personalities and how they react in certain situations. And being that Harvick coming off such a strong year, the big three, he's not living up to that expectation. Happy Harvick is frowning right now. We can definitely say frowning Harvick. And until he gets in victory lane, we're going to see a mustard-ass attitude from Mr. Harvick. He's not going to be happy until he gets in victory lane.
Who do you think? Do you think it's too early to shape the big three yet?
Yeah, I think it's still way too early, Craig. I don't see the performance-wise this year that we've seen last year. We've had different winners except for Kyle Busch every week. So, you know, Kyle Busch, of course, you know, he is, I think, the number one ranked driver in NASCAR right now. He's the guy that's on top. Of course, Brad Keselowski's got to be right there as well with his performance. Oh, yeah, I think Brad has two wins now in the Cup Series. As a matter of fact, I've got the points right here. That's ridiculous that I'm not just looking at the points before I open my mouth. But so let's see. Yeah. Keselowski has two wins, and Kyle Busch has two wins. So they're tied. It may be the big three, but it's between the two right now, Kyle Busch and Keselowski. Logano has a win. Hamlin has a win. And that's it. Harvick, Amarola, Truex, Blaney, Elliott, Busch, as in Kurt Busch or Larson, none of those guys have a win yet this season. So, you know, we're rolling into Texas. I think that Texas is not your typical mile-and-a-half speedway. Texas has always been its monster of itself. It's a big racetrack. Everything's big in Texas, including the entertainment. So I'm looking forward to seeing what's going to happen this weekend. We've seen Kyle Busch run there well. We've seen Logano run there well. Harvick has had Texas's number quite a few times. Even Jimmy Johnson's had a lot of success at Texas. I'm not sure that Jimmy's going to pop out just here yet, but we're still kind of waiting to see what happens with his season and how he's able to adapt to the new crew chief that he has. But anybody's on the board for this one. Truex Jr., this could be the one that he breaks out in. Or of course, Kurt Busch. We could, you know, definitely see a Kurt Busch or maybe even a Larson in victory lane this weekend. I just don't see Kyle Busch winning this weekend, but it could happen. I would like to get you guys' picks before we get off the air tonight.
Yeah, I'm going on with Johnson.
You're going out on the limb for Johnson?
Yeah, I don't know why.
200? Oh, wow. I'd bet the bank on that one. Let's see what the odds
Jimmy
are.
Johnson. Jimmy Johnson's always been really good at Texas. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but that's not too out on the limb for me. I like that pick. It's not that he gets that pick. That's like saying going on a limb. I know it's been a drought and everything, but that's like saying
the
going on a limb.
The last time that Jimmy Johnson
Charlotte,
picked to win the race was the Roval, where I picked Jimmy Johnson to win, and he was so close, but it didn't happen. So that's the first time Jimmy Johnson's name has been on the board since the Roval at Charlotte. That's how much we think of Jimmy Johnson on this show.
I like that pick. It just Texas and Charlotte's the two tracks that if I – put a name to that, that's who it is. But I like that pick. But are we doing picks right now?
Yeah.
Cup Series, just so far, Cup Series. God, it's hard to go. That's like betting against Tom Brady, like betting against Kyle Busch.
That's like betting against R. Kelly's case.
Oh, wow.
That's horrible. Please, no R. Kelly jokes on here. Please. I believe I can fly.
No,
Michael McDowell
Seal.
Did. Go ahead.
That was Seal that sang, I believe I can fly.
No, it wasn't. It was it was from Space Jam, buddy. R. Kelly, Space Jam.
Yes, it was R. Kelly.
Come on. And we're talking to Mr. DJ here. He is slipping. There is something wrong with him today. I know it now. He just admitted it.
Just so I don't pick Kyle Busch every week, I'll go with Brad Keselowski this week.
You're going with Brad Keselowski?
Yeah,
wait a minute. You're going with Brad Keselowski over Kyle Busch? Are you feeling
just
okay?
Said, so
a 13-4 odd versus a 23-10 odd on Kyle Busch. I have never in my life seen a 23-10 odd for the favorite. This is unheard of.
But like I said, I'm just picking him so I don't pick Kyle Busch every week. Like, I just want to mix it up for one a week.
Do you want Keselowski? Because what you're trying to tell me is you really want to pick Kyle Busch for the win, but you're going to go to Keselowski. I don't get that.
Fine, Kyle Busch. Kyle Busch.
All right. Thank you, sir.
I was just trying to do a variety.
Oh, my God. He sounds like a politician. Is he running for president, for Christ's sake?
Jesus. Stay out of the race, creepy Biden.
Oh my God!
Meadow.
Follow Meadow.
Who you got, Chris?
As I look at the odds, 23-10 for Kyle Busch, 13-4 odd for Keselowski, Logano with 11-2 odd, Harvick with an 11-2 odd, 7-1 odd for Martin Truex Jr., Ryan Blaney a 9-1 odd, Kyle Larson is sitting with a 12-1. Eric Amarola, Chase Elliott, both at 25-1, along with Denny Hamlin. Then you get off a little bit deeper, Clint Bowyer and Kurt Busch, a 28-1, and then it kind of fades out after that. Jimmy Johnson is a great pick this week. It's a 60-1 odd, so that would be a pretty damn good payout if you were to go with Jimmy Johnson. Bowman and Suarez are both at 100-1 odd. I would have to pick Martin Truex Jr. this week. I know that that's crazy. I don't normally go to the Toyota, the dark side, but, I mean, considering their finishes already this year, Truex has found a lot of success at mile-and-a-half speedways. This one's going to be his time and his number, so I'm going to go with Martin Truex Jr. for the win this weekend.
And, wait, I just want to say something real quick, because I've been kind of quiet tonight, and no.
I thought I gave you plenty of talking time.
No, I'm only busting your stone. But what about Mr. Stuart Friesen?
How about that? Got him a pole.
He got him a pole and he's leading the point.
Yeah. Good job, Mr. Friesen. Freeze the field, Stuart Friesen.
Listen, before we get out of here, I want to say something real quick.
Who was your pick?
I gave my pick.
Who was it?
Jimmy Johnson.
I picked Jimmy Johnson.
I know. It was such a pathetic pick that I didn't really even think about it. Sorry.
y'all will be laughing on Monday when we talk about it before we interview the media director for Orange County Fair Speedway down in Middletown, New York, to tell us about what they got coming up this season. They just actually had their annual car show at the Newburgh Mall down there, and they had Stewart, speaking of Freeze, they had Stewart's 2018 truck down there, and I didn't get a chance to go down because I had gigs all weekend, but man, it's I'm excited about this. They're going to talk about it. Jake's going to talk about $100,000 payout coming up at a point this season. Not only that, but they run two big races every year. Well, one big one. It's called Eastern State, and he's going to talk about that plus the $100,000 race that they got coming up later in the season, and we're going to see if we can't get down there and watch the race, and I'll see if I can't get media credentials for it, but because it's going to draw the best of the best from the East Coast for damn sure. So I'm excited about that next week. And then coming up the Monday before Talladega, we are scheduled to have on the 1990 Daytona 500 winner, Derek Cope. So we're scheduled to have him on April 22nd. So it's going to be a busy April for Race Chat Live.
I think we're going to be able to squeeze in Chaz Thompson and Race Know-How's Jonathan Masters as well in between now and that series there as well. How about Chaz Thompson going from one side of America to the other, just trying to chase down people who wanted to kick his ass? I mean, the kid is crazy. and he comes out with some of the most horrible things to say on the radio. But give him some credit, guys. That guy went from one side of the ocean to the other just to prove a point, and I think he proved his point well enough. That boy loves some racing. We're going to give him another chance on here. But we're going to give him certain things that he cannot talk about while he's on the show with us. But I think I figured out. We're going to have to keep his mind a little bit cleaner and keep the MFN's words from coming on, because I don't like those words.
Yeah, I know. No, this is a family show.
Well, sometimes we say ass and damn and some other bad words, but, you know, that's just us fired up, and my kids have heard a lot worse, but their father hasn't always had the cleanest mouth. But real quick, I'm looking for the entry list for the Xfinity race at Texas Motor Speedway. Of course, Craig Moore, we appreciate everything you do on bringing these guests on and stuff, and I haven't been booking guests too much this year, but I definitely want to get Jonathan Masters on and give Chaz Thompson about 15 minutes on the show here. But we'll still have plenty of NASCAR to talk about and some other stuff. But once again, I'm looking for the entry list for the Xfinity Series this weekend. Shout out to Cole Custer for getting that win in the Xfinity Series last week. So
I'm going for a Kyle Busch sweep this weekend.
Yeah, seeing that he was in. I guess when he's there, you have to kind of bet on him to win.
Yeah,
I'm just not sure if he's gonna. Yeah, I'm not sure. Brad Keselowski, is he in it?
Yes, he is.
Okay, are you looking at the entry list?
Yes, I am.
All right, yeah, I'll take Brad Keselowski. If I had to pick an Xfinity regular, I'm probably going to go with Cole Custer. But I would
go
also,
with Bell if I had to.
Yeah, I would hate to leave Bell off that list there, but go ahead. Yeah. And, Craig, who do you pick?
Who you got, Craig?
For the Xfinity?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Custer. Just because I like 00.
Parker Kligerman?
Yeah, that too. We're talking about Xfinity, are we not?
Yeah, we're talking about Xfinity.
Cole Custer's 00.
Oh, Cole Custer. Okay, I thought you said Parker. Parker Kligerman. I didn't think he was right there.
He said he liked the double zero.
Who the hell would pick Parker Kligerman?
Listen, I will next time just because.
Look, man, I mean, if you'll look at the standings, Ryan Sieg and Michael Annette are fourth and third in the Xfinity Championship. Noah Grasden's in the sixth spot. Chase Briscoe's in the fifth spot. They're chasing Tyler Reddick and Cole Custer. At the back of the list, it's Austin Cindric and Brandon Jones. Just a great list of talent right there. And awesome hats off to Ryan Sieg, underfunded team, being able to stay up there into the top 4 points. As a matter of fact, he's the first guy without a win that's in the points in that fourth spot. So Custer, Reddick, and Annette are all winners in the series so far. So maybe Sieg will be able to get him a win. Of course, Briscoe, we're watching him, and Noah Grasden. It's good to see Noah making it through half the year without crying. I give it to him. He's kept his eyes dry this year.
Listen, before we get out of here, I got to talk about this, and I want you guys' opinion. NASCAR decided to tweak their qualifying, adding a deterrent.
Oh, yeah, good job, Craig. Come on.
Thank you. That's what I'm here for. They announced Monday in a memo to teams to host a host of qualifying procedural updates, including additional deterrence measures for all three of their series. Well, apparently what happened was people were sandbagging, not getting up to speed, and not taking laps. If these bladass, big-ass drivers decide that they're not going to take a lap and they're not going to get up to where they need to be, any practice times or anything is going to be disallowed. It doesn't matter whether it's the first round or the final round. They're going to start at the end of the field.
Way to go, NASCAR.
Now, I will say this. It's been brought up on several shows throughout the land since Monday that maybe NASCAR should not only put them in the back of the pack, but make them do a pass-through penalty after the first lap. I kind of like that idea.
Yeah, I love it. It's making them race. There's a reason why qualifying's on TV. They want it to be a show, and so NASCAR is going to go to make sure that they turn this into a show. Hats off. They've seen a problem. They're going to fix it. Now cars have to go out there. If not, they suffer the most ultimate penalty, which would be starting last in the race. And trust me, none of those guys want to go out there. And so this took it. This took the chess game out of the crew chief's hands and put it back into the driver's speed. And that's where it was supposed to be. The crew chiefs outsmarted themselves a few weeks ago. They made themselves look like idiots. And Austin Dillon will be in the clash because they didn't go out and qualify. It's kind of sad to see it, but I'm glad that NASCAR made the adjustments needed to get it where these guys have to compete. I was not looking forward to single file qualifying. I don't like it at a dirt track. I don't like it at a big super speedway. I don't like it at all. I think that it's a lot more entertaining when you're actually seeing the guys race each other for that qualifying lap, similar to how dirt cars do in hot lap qualifying around where we are. So they actually come out for the first time out on the track, and they're qualifying while they're doing their hot laps. So that's the way it should be, because you have your heat races to earn your way up from position as soon as you get into that. So one more thing, guys. We've got the truck races. Of course, I'm going to pull for Stuart Friesen this weekend. I think my counterpart over here, Craig Moore, he's going to go for Stuart Friesen. Kyle Busch is in this race, so I would predict probably that Mr. CJ Sports is going to pick Kyle Busch for the win here as well.
The sweep, yep.
He's going for the trifecta. Wow. Let's see if he can do it. You know, I had all my money on him, the last time he tried for the trifecta, and I lost a lot of it. So I'm not going to go out on the limb and spend my light bill this week on that bet. It just seems so hard to do, and competition's a lot stronger. Of course, Harrison Burton would not be a surprise to see him get his first win. Also, we'll be keeping our eye on Jordan Anderson, who's been having a pretty good year. And I believe we have a new kid on the block. His name's Tyler Ankrum. He'll be in the number 17 DGR Crossley Toyota Tundra, so we're going to keep our eyes on him as well. A lot of young kids coming up. And how about Sheldon Creed? I think Sheldon's been a former guest of ours, right, CJ Sports?
That's correct.
Yeah, I remember interviewing him with our old buddy, Mr. Steve Billmeyer.
Jesse
Owiti, who's been a – huh?
I said, yeah, Sean Creed's been on a couple times.
Yeah, Jesse Ouija's back under the back at Texas as well. We've had him on. If you don't recall who we're talking about, we were talking about the U.S. Navy officer, Jesse Ouija. He'll be in the number 40 Roman Brothers Racing Chevrolet, so we're going to pull for him as well. And just looking for a great weekend at the Texas Motor Speedway. Hopefully, if anybody's around that area, they'll go out and enjoy the Speedway. If not, enjoy your local tracks. We had us a great one this past weekend out at Wynot Motorsports Park. And believe it or not, the person that won the factory stock race, he flunked post-race qualified and still got the win. I mean, post-race inspection and still got the win. How the hell that ever happens, I don't know, but I'm not going to waste my time discussing it on the show. For all you assholes that were listening to this show just to hear me say that, there it is. But I will not give it any more talk. It's not my place to make a decision on who should and who shouldn't get thrown out. You read the rule books. You guys make the choices. And with that, y'all give us plenty of entertainment. But when it comes to the politics and all that other stuff, you leave it for other people's shows. You're not going to have it on mine.
I couldn't agree more. Better. I couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah, I'm sure that there were quite a few people listening in tonight thinking that we were holding back our show to get into the politics of racing, guys. I've got better things to do than to shame 40-hour-a-week racers, or 80-hour-a-week racers, I should say, if you had their shop time. It's an unfortunate decision, and I'm not on either side of it, but when the track makes the call, I think that decision should have been upheld over the series decision. Other than that, you know, it is what it is.
All right, well, it is about 20 after 9. We have made our picks. Like I said, Monday night, we have Jake from the Orange County Fair Speedway joining us at the bottom of the hour, which will be at about 8:30, 8:35. He'll be on with us for about 40, 45 minutes. telling us about all the things going on at Orange County Fair Speedway in Orange County, New York. And if y'all don't know where that's at, turn on the Discovery Channel on Tuesday nights at 9 o'clock and watch American Chopper, because that's not too far from there. So,
awesome. All right. Well, from all the way up from Amsterdam, New York, to down here in the hot blazing Mississippi, where it's already 78 degrees and warm and sunny, I'm telling you. And of course, right there in the central eastern coast zone of North Carolina, it's Mr. CJ Sports. We're the 110 Sports Nation. And 110 Nation Sports, I'm sorry. Oh, my God. How many years have I been here? 110 Nation Sports, and this was Race Chat Live. We want to thank y'all for listening on this Thursday night. Hopefully we won't get any copyright infringements from Sports Nation. As a matter of fact, is Sports Nation even on TV anymore, or has ESPN cut that show completely out? I believe they've cut that show completely out, haven't they?
I'm not sure. I'm not a big ESPN. I'm an FS1 person, so.
Yeah, I am too, and I'm so glad that Colin Cowherd is over there. The reason why I always kept my eye on Sports Nation is because, being a Colin Cowherd fan, that was where Colin made his debut on ESPN with Michelle Beadle. And, of course, Michelle Beadle now does the basketball, she's a great analyst, and I love to hear her content. I've actually caught a lot of professional basketball this year. LeBron is not going to be able to match his ninth championship run. The Lakers are out of the playoffs, and I think that's great for the NBA. Baseball season kicked off. I don't know if you guys got to see Hideki. What was his name? I was about to say Hideki Onoma, but that wasn't him. The outfielder, Suzuki. Ichiro Suzuki retired in Japanese fashion there in Japan last week in the season opener, baseball opener, as they opened up their season in Japan. And that, guys, Ichiro got a great standing ovation. I mean, just after all the years that he's put into baseball, to see him step away. It was actually a piece of my childhood that stepped off that field, because Ichiro had been playing American ball sports since 1999, which was the year that I graduated high school. So kind of weird to go back 20 years and think about, much has changed, and the fact that he was in professional sports that many years ago. I know it's so long ago, but guys, thank y'all for listening here tonight.
I'm older than you.
Yeah, I'm only. What do you mean? I look old or something?
Yeah.
Oh Lord, that's disappointing. I thought I was the youngest one out of the three of us here.
No. Yeah. I'm the youngin'. Yeah, I'm 38. How old are you, Mr. C? You're like 3 years older than me, right? You're 41.
Yeah, I just turned 41. That's disappointing.
Thanks for thinking that I'm older than you, okay? Because I thought I was looking pretty damn good for my age.
I thought you were like 43, 44. I thought you were like a couple of years older than me.
Wow. I should probably grow my Santa Claus beard and wear overalls every day now that Mr. CJ Sports said I look the oldest.
I just thought you were older than me. I didn't say you look older. I just thought most people don't even realize I'm 41. I mean, it wasn't about look. I just thought you were just a couple years older than me.
Well, I thought you were about 60.
Oh, hell. Yeah, I know, right? You know, a fat 60, huh? No, Chris, don't do it. He didn't mean to. No, I'm just kidding, Mr. Jesus. But just glad to be on here. And like I said, we hate that we miss Monday night. It's glad to enjoy a night with you guys and talk about racing, and it was kind of fitting, because this news wasn't out on Monday, so we would have had to a lot to jam in on the next Monday night show, and so now we can pick back up and enjoy our guest this coming Monday night. But as for Chris and Craig and Mr. CJ Sports, we want to thank y'all for listening, and make sure that you tune in on our regular time and schedule Monday night. Mr. CJ Sports, I think you got some bills to pay.
Yeah, I want to make sure that I thank Fit for Life, Carolina Sports Plus, Maxivation Digital Media. Without them, this all wouldn't be possible. Make sure you guys check us out on Twitter at 110 Nation. Like us on Facebook, 110 Nation Sports. Check out the site, www.the110nationsports.com, for all the latest. Monday nights, right back here for Race Chat Live. And then, of course, Tuesday and Wednesday, you guys can catch us on the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network with the 110 Nation Sports Show. Izzo will be with me on Tuesday night at 9:30, because we're going to be talking playoffs for the NHL.
And Miss Lee is working on getting us a couple guests on those nights as well. So make sure you guys tune in.
A lot of exciting things. Make sure you check out the website. Make sure you follow our page at Race Chat Live. And tune in every Monday night as me and Craig talk shit about racing. Thank you for listening, guys. Anything else, Craig?
No, man. That's there's a pull up on the Facebook page. Make sure you take it, share it. And I want to know your thoughts. We'll talk about it Monday night.
All right. Good deal. Thank you all very much. We'll see you Monday. Bye.
Later. Good night.
Bye.